Elijah was getting ready to die, and God said, go find Elisha and anoint him. What was Elisha doing? He was plowing behind 12 yoke of oxen. If my math is right, it's 24. You know how you plow behind 24 yoke of oxen? Like this. Now watch me, because there's 24 of them. Y'all know what that was, right? I love pie, but I don't love them pies. And when you're, this is the thing about God's calling on your life. Sometimes it feels like you're behind 24 yoke of oxen. Can I tell you what the back view of 24 oxen looks like? The view never changes. The same thing. But what was the word of the Lord? He was called to drop everything and go. Billy just said, burn the ship, get rid of plan B. What did he do? He busted up all of his plows and made a fire. And he took the oxen and he sacrificed them to the Lord. You know what that was doing? Getting rid of plan B. A lot of us would think, oh man, okay, I'm going to go do this for the Lord. But y'all watch my oxen for me, just in case this doesn't work, just in case I didn't really hear from the Lord. Number one, make sure you heard from the Lord. But if you heard from the Lord, get rid of plan B. So why would you go back to a lesser plan?
Yes.
Anyway, amen.
Y'all
would probably agree with me right now if I said, well, that's church for today. That was a good sermon, though, but we ain't done yet. Christine helped me last week, and what she said was so powerful. And I've thought about this all week, and I've left it on people. I've dropped this on them. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Did that help anybody? It helped me. If you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. Somebody said, I didn't realize I was a professional meditator. I just wasn't walking in it. I had let worry creep in. According to God's word, I interpret it like this. Worry is none of my business. Somebody said something that was life-changing to me. You know, every now and again, do you feel your brain just like take on another wrinkle? Somebody said something, I felt it go, they said, other people's opinion of you is none of your business. That'll help somebody. Other people's opinion of you is none of your business, because they're going to think what they want to think anyway. And if you spend your time trying to line up for this person, then you got to line up for 7 billion. The line is exactly 7 billion people long. And it will fluctuate and it will change. But if you just focus on pleasing the Lord, Jesus said that. He said, find out what pleases the Lord. That's what he told some religious people. Find out what pleases the Lord. Amen. That was good last week, Christine. I truly enjoyed that. And this has kind of been a mantra for me. And I'm tearing this and taking this into the new year. But your tomorrow, like we do a lot of things January 1st, New Year's Day, don't we? I was a part of those people who 2 days ago went and renewed my gym membership. This morning I brought boxes of donuts to church. Misery loves company. So anybody, you know, they say that resolutions last 15 days, but most of them are broken within 4 days. So if anybody's already broken, go back there and grab a donut and join me. But your tomorrow is just like your yesterday. This is the mantra I've been... I'm not into all that, you know, but I'm just saying this is something I keep in my mind. I was talking about meditating. Sometimes the word meditate means to self-talk, to actually it means to mumble, but I need to keep God's word in my mouth. And this is something that I've learned. My tomorrow, my resolutions, my want to will be just like my yesterday unless I learn something today to apply to tomorrow. I want a different future. I want a different outcome. You know, they say this about people. Let me just throw this out there. They say this about people. They say that every person has an ideal you and a real you. And we're trying to get to the place of the ideal you. But we live in the real you. So my tomorrow is going to be just like my yesterday unless I learn something today to change that outcome. And God's word is what changes outcomes. Amen. Y'all are a little bit tired on me this morning. I feel like I don't have a horse whip. But wake up with me. Come on. If you'll turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. If you don't have it, it's going to come up on the screen. But this is an Old Testament scripture, and this was given at a time when people were having problems with idols in their life. To give you another scripture with this one. At a time when people had a problem with idols in their life, there was a time like that in the Bible. This time right here precedes that time. And the Lord was talking to them about idols. And he said, verse 28 said, "And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." This was like somebody needed to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this today. Wherever you're at, there is a from there point. And what the Lord is saying is that wherever you are at, if from there you will seek him with all of your heart, you'll find him. That's good news. You will find him if you seek him with all of your heart. From where? From wherever you are at. If from there you will seek him with all of your heart. Billy, if I understand that right, that's getting rid of all of my plan Bs. Because plan B also includes a little bit of my heart. And if I have a divided heart, I'm not going to be 100% of anything except completely divided. You only have to split it two ways for it to be completely divided. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The Bible talks a lot about being double-minded, but it doesn't talk about being double-hearted. Because where your heart is, your treasure's at. Amen? So let me say this. In Judges, a couple books over, in Judges, the very last book of the chapter of Judges, of the book of Judges, Judges 21, in verse 25, the very last sentence in the very last chapter of the book of Judges, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So you say it's a relic. You say God's word is a relic. You say it's not relevant. That sounds like 2020, first week of January, first Sunday in January. There was no king in the land, and everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes. We are driven. I'm not talking about just distracted. We are driven by little cell phones and little apps that have a question on there. Do you like me or not? Do you like me or not? Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. That's exactly where we're living today. And I mean, if somebody's got their phone out, I know that they got the scripture pulled up. I know that's what you got right now. I ain't know nobody checking no apps, unless it's the Bible app. But if everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes, you know what that means? You know what that equals? If everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes, no moral absolutes. None. Zero moral absolutes. The moral marker is just fluctuating. You want to stay out of those waters because you'll drown in those type of waters. When it's just fluctuating, you try to turn this way and right, and water goes down your throat because that thing is so turbulent. You can't survive in that type of atmosphere. Maybe I should end right now, Billy. We'll go get some chicken. What this scripture is telling me, and this is a good January New Year scripture, I got to retrack. I got to rethink some things, and I've got to set some perimeters in my life. And everything in my life can't be, my perimeters can't just be how far, my boundaries, about boundaries. I talked for a while this year on boundaries. All the boundaries, all the perimeters can't just be a limit of how far things can come in my life. I need to set proper boundaries. So that means proper perimeters. That means some of the things can't come this far, but some of the things I can't go that far. You see that? Because if I only set a boundary, if I only let things come this far, then I've given myself too much grace. So the rules change when it's me, but you got to obey my rules. And if there's no king in the land, no moral absolutes, and everybody's doing what seems right in their own eyes. You know, let me tell you, seems right. Seems right. There's scripture that talks about that. If we just do what there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the way of. Some interpretations of that scripture says death, destruction. You don't want anything to do with either one of those. Choose a translation. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Now there's a, let's go with another scripture. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own. And everybody was doing what they thought was right, what seemed right unto them. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, check the box, and he shall direct your path. That path, by the way, leads to eternal life. That starts now. Even my physical death is going to be a door that I will walk through into what's forever. The Bible describes this as a vapor, as a mist, as something that is passing by. It's fleeting. Y'all ain't going to believe this, but the Bible says even my beauty is fleeting. I will take the one amen and run with that. Beauty's fleeting. So much of this life is getting past us faster than we could ever imagine. I'm 52 years old. You didn't have to grunt, brother. But I think 20 years ago. So I subtract 20 years and I remember. And I just remember, I just take how I felt. 20 years from now, how will I feel? I'm telling you, it is. There was a day. Y'all remember the song, "The Summer Used to Last Forever"? I remember them summers. I was barefooted. The bottom of my feet were about that thick, running on gravel and grass and sticks. And I was like a squirrel. And I had a bicycle. I felt like Barney. I could bring them things to break with my feet. Now I can't walk anywhere on my feet. That is hurting. But there was a time in my life when things seemed like so far out there. I remember when I thought somebody 30 years old was old at 30. Old at 30. How did I get off on that? Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. What's the New Testament say about this? I tell you what, it'll agree with it. Chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Boy, is that a good one to start the year off with. My debt to you. So I'm indebted to everybody, but the debt is to love them. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let me just stop before I read any further. There's no way you can get to that if everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. He's given you a parameter. He's given you a boundary. He's helping to identify the trouble spots in your life. I mean, those are the big ones. We just talked about the big ones. That was the big list. That was the scary list. That's love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this. Now here's something to do. Knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, but before we start feeling too holy, he just put everybody, he's actually talking to Christians and believers right here. This is not sidewalk evangelism right here. This is inside a body of believers. And he's telling this, let us walk properly. Let us cast off the works of darkness. So he's saying, I know you're struggling with some works of darkness. Can I tell you, you cannot New Year's resolution that thing away. And let us put on the armor of light. What will protect me? Light. Who is light? Jesus. Who else is light? You are. Look at your neighbor and say, you are. Who called you? Who called you light? Jesus did. He said, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are a city that is set on a hill. You can't be hidden. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Look, just those last two, strife and envy. Now, if you thought about them, revelry and drunkenness, lewdness and lust, strife and envy, that ain't so bad. Let me tell you something, what the Bible says about strife and envy. He says, where there's strife and envy, every evil work. There's every evil work. You know what that scripture has just described? Everything. Everything evil. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's your boundary. Make no provision of the flesh to fulfill its lust. You talked about that last week. I can't go down through here and say, okay, Amanda, well, this is what you need to work on. And you, this one right here especially, like, let me line that for you real good. And this one I'm putting capital letters, okay? And this one I'm going to attach a photo so you'll be no mistake. Now, you, brother, let me tell you what's wrong. He's not talking about you looking at anybody else. He's talking about you looking at you. Say, look at me. That thing almost everybody in here did this morning, look in your own mirror. And make no provision for the flesh. So, here's the thing. To fulfill its lust, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. There's two parts right there. There's making provision for the flesh, and then there's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So you don't get to fulfilling the lust of the flesh without you making room for it, making provision for it. And you know who we got to blame for it? Me. Can I tell you that the devil has gotten way too much credit for way too long? The devil made me do it. Because you know what happens when I say the devil made me do it? I took all responsibility off of me and put it on the devil. As if I was walking by and all of a sudden the devil just, whoom, and I fell into sin just like that. Y'all saw the devil jump out behind that tree. It wasn't me. John's too holy for that. But the devil made me do that. No. Somewhere I made some room for it. I made provision for it. And the Bible says, make no provision for it. No room for compromise. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. This is where the Holy Spirit has to be a part of your life so much that you are in constant communication with Him. Because everything that the Holy Spirit says to you is not on a flashing neon billboard. Stop, John. Think about it. This could be the end of this. I'm still human. You're still human. We are still drawn away by our lust and by our desires and those things. And so this is the thing. And we talked about this morning in Men's Fellowship. We were talking about I had a ham and egg biscuit in one hand and talking out of my mouth. And you know, when I just feel another anointing come on me when there's food that close by. Had donuts waiting in front of me. But we talked about how we could get so far down the road and get so deeply involved in something. And man, I was in church Sunday. And how did I? Good night. Who is this guy? And it just came to me The Holy Spirit is described as wind. And it's described like this. It's like the wind, and it bloweth where it listeth. That means wherever it wants to. If we could turn off all the lights here and bring one of those spotlights down, you could probably, I don't know, I had to just get, I just saw a piece right there, a piece of dust. If we were to bring down all the lights and shine just one beam across here, we could sit here and look and see all the dust particles all in there. And guess what they'd be doing? Moving. Slowly moving. There's a current in here somewhere. If the Holy Spirit is like the wind, it bloweth where it wants to. I have to be in such constant communication that I pick up on its leading. What if he moves just a little bit? I told the men this morning, I used to be a youth pastor, and kids would ask me, say, Pastor John, why? How did this happen in my life? How did this happen? And usually my answer for them was this, because you were a leader that got caught following, not God, not following God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a leader. If you're a wife, look at your husband and tell him, you're my leader. Ooh, I felt the pressure level go up just a little bit. Now look at them and say, lead me well. Please lead me well. Lead us well. Lead our children well. Lead us. I feel quietness coming in here. Lead us. Lead us well. The problem is this. If you've got leadership in you and you're following anybody except Jesus, then you're not a leader anymore. You're a follower. And God's put it inside of us to lead, but only as we are following. He's not contradicting himself at all. He's given you proper direction. Me first, then you'll know. I want that to bake into your head right now. The little dust particles. The Bible, I didn't come up with that. The Bible says that he is like the wind. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. He blows where he wants to. It doesn't say he waits for you and then he comes this way. He goes where he wants to. You want to be led by the Spirit? You better be listening. You better be watching. Y'all know what clocks mean to preachers, don't you? I'm waving my hanky at that. That's my amen to y'all. Nothing. Nothing. You're a royal priesthood. God says you are. Your standing is the righteousness of God, not your own righteousness. Come on, Christine. It's a new year. Maybe I can squeeze more out of 20 minutes than I thought. What areas of your life do you need to protect? I believe you're thinking right now. Any pitfalls, any slippery places? You got some places that you know they're ice, and you got hard sole shoes on, and you're trying to be careful. Let me tell you. It's a matter of time before you slip. I love you guys, and I'll be there with you. But I don't want to have to be there figuring out why the defeat happened. I don't want to do that. I'll do it. And you'll make it through, and God will forgive you, and God will help you, and He'll strengthen, He'll restore you, He'll bring you right back. But there'll be consequences attached. And they'll be hard. Sometimes we see things out in the distance, and they look so good. we didn't realize, I didn't know it was going to pay. My dad told me something. He said, the enemy will take you further than you meant to go. He said he'll make you stay longer than you intended to stay. And he said this, he'll make you pay more than you intended to pay. Why? Because he's an enemy. There's nothing about Satan that is for you. Even the enticing things, God's word tells you what the enticing things, they end in destruction. You need a neon light? Here's the light. At the end is destruction. You want to miss it? Start looking at the little particles of the Holy Spirit. Become so intimate with him. He speaks to you. And it says, meditate on his word day and night. When he says, pray without ceasing, that does not mean be weird. I can't talk to you right now. John, we need you to go down to aisle 3. And there's a mess down there you need to pick up. I can't, I'm praying right now. I'm praying. I can't do it. Don't be weird. You'll get fired for being weird. But prayer, number one, is communication. All I got to do sometimes with her is just look over there and just... I'm telling you, Walker said, I told y'all that last week. Walker said, my 12-year-old son, he said, Dad, can you and Mom communicate without talking? Oh, yeah. Holy Spirit can tell me stuff, and if I'm not very careful, I'll miss it.
Yes.
There's consequences to pay for that. But if I allow myself to not listen, I will find myself further than I meant to go.
Yes.
Remember Samson's Nazirite vow? 3 parts to his vow. No drinking. It was a vow. He took it. He took it from Perth. His parents put this on him, but he grew up in this. He grew up where he could, it wasn't just not drinking wine. For him, I'm not talking about drinking, having a drink. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his vow, though, was to not even touch the seed or the husk of the grape. Not to touch any dead thing. Nothing. Not a dead animal, not a dead person. That was his second. His other vow was not to cut his hair. Ever. Where did the Lord hide Samson's strength? It wasn't because of his size and his stature. You read a kid's, it wears me out. Even kids' Christian books have Samson like. What I read in the Bible is where the woman said, Samson? She said that. She said, where's your strength? That made me think he looked like everybody else.
Right.
It was the Spirit of God that came on him and he did these crazy, amazing things. But what happened to him? Yeah, he told her about his hair, but he had already broken his vow a long time ago. He got drunk. He got to doing some crazy stuff he wasn't supposed to be doing. He got hungry. He had killed a lion under the... Listen, please, hear this. He had killed a young lion with his hands. A little while later, he goes back by that lion. His carcass is laying there. And inside of its ribs... the bees have formed a nest. It says he is hungry. So he reached down and ate something sweet. But that was nasty. He touched a dead thing. He broke his vow. And we can think, bee's nest out of a lion's rib cage that's been dead laying there for a while. But there's some sweet stuff that we'll touch and ignore the dead stuff if we're not careful. Ignore the smell. Ignore the stench. Ignore the flies, the big old blue and green blowflies around it. Dip our hand right in there and eat of it. What was he thinking? Same thing I wasn't thinking. The last part, you know what he did. He laid his head down. And I'm trying to tell you, you don't get anywhere that your mind didn't take you there first. Your mind will have you in a completed act long before your body ever takes you there and does it. You better hear this, preacher. That's God's word. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Better be careful. You better be careful. If I could tell you anything this year, understand your eyes are a gate. The Bible says a man's eyes are the windows to his soul. You know what that means? That literally means this. What I see has the ability to consume me.
Yes.
Better guard your gates.
Yes.
Whose gates? Somebody say, my gates. My gates. Dads, lead them well. Husbands, lead them well. If you don't protect your territory, if you don't create, establish boundaries, and then respect those boundaries, if you don't do it, how are you going to expect anybody else to? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I say thank you for this wonderful opportunity of days and weeks and months and a year that lays before us. What wonderful things could happen, but none of us know what lays in front of us. None of us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us, God. May your Holy Spirit that blows like the wind, God, let us sense it when it's a strong wind. And let us sense your spirit when it's the lightest of breezes. When the wind direction just all of a sudden totally shifts. God, let me understand my path has just shifted. I don't walk this way anymore. I have a new direction that you're taking me. Thank you for it, Lord. Make us obedient to you, God. Make us obedient to you. Let our desire be to please you, Lord. Your word says if we seek to please you, God, you would give us the desires of our heart.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that I've got this thing I want and this thing I want and this thing I want and that whole list is mine if I seek you. No, that's completely not what it means. It means, God, you are the giver of desires and you will put inside of me the things that begin to please you. Let that happen, God. Let your will be done in my life, in our lives. Let that be our prayer. And let every minute of every hour of every day this week line up with that goal.
Yes.
Way more than a resolution. It's a lifestyle that you're calling us to. In Jesus' name.
Let us become more